us. I took Harry's hand. It's okay. It's okay. Just look at me. People started crowding around. The hip-hop music that blared from the speakers kept running, out of sync with what was happening in the room.
Clear the way. Clear the way. Give him some air, the instructor said.
I dropped Harry's hand and scooted back behind the crowd. This gave me the perfect opportunity to disappear. I pushed my wings from my back and winked out of sight. Even though I was invisible, I still had to follow the laws of physics. That meant that I had to work around the knot of people surrounding Harry and slip through an opening to get to his body. A second after I knelt beside him again, he breathed his last breath. His soul came drifting up from the body, attached by a band of ectoplasm. Harry looked down at himself with confusion, then up at me. His eyes widened when he noticed my wings.
A heart attack? Seriously? I was in great shape, he said. Are you the Grim Reaper? Or some kind of angel?
A little of both, I said, and this was true. My father was Azazel, a fallen angel, and my mother had been an agent of death. I was also distantly related to Lucifer, and he loved to remind me of that fact. Harry watched the class instructor giving his lifeless body CPR.
So I guess if you're here, that means that CPR isn't going to do too much for me.
I shook my head and held out my hand. Will you come with me? You have to give the soul a choice. They have to choose to go with you, or stay and haunt this earth forever. Choosing to be a ghost also creates a lot of annoying paperwork. Harry put his hand in mine. As he did, he looked me up and down critically.
I meant what I said, you know. If you stick with the class, you will definitely see results.
I'll keep that in mind, I said. Got any fitness tips for an overweight gargoyle? I dropped Harry off at the door and made my way toward home. The flight felt a little lonely without Gabriel. He used to be my bodyguard, at the behest of my father, and therefore went everywhere with me except the bathroom. Now he was my thrall, by virtue of my having won him in a magical contest that I was not supposed to survive. The laws of Lucifer's kingdom said that once you are a thrall, you are always a thrall. You can be passed from owner to owner, but you can never, ever be free. I really did not want to be Gabriel's owner, but I didn't want him to belong to someone else who would abuse him either. So mostly I left him alone and avoided making direct requests of him that he would be forced to follow. This meant that I spent a lot more time flying solo than I used to, unless Samael decided to come with me. Samael was Gabriel's half-brother, and he'd recently become a part of my household collection of oddities. He frequently came with me on pickups because he had an insatiable curiosity about anything and everything to do with humans. But Beazel had insisted that Samael stay home this morning and watch a movie with him. The gargoyle had been strangely mysterious about the choice of film, too. So I just hoped that he wasn't making Samael watch something icky, like a really bloody horror movie. I was flying lower than I usually do, close to the rooftops, which is why I saw the ghost. It was walking in circles on the sidewalk, which was odd behavior, even for an apparition. Every once in a while it would walk toward the brick exterior of a building and bounce off, almost as if it didn't know that ghosts could drift through solid objects. I lowered myself to the ground, so focused on the specter's weird behavior that I bumped into a kid with a hooded sweatshirt and backpack making his way to a nearby bus stop. The kid stopped and looked behind him, alarmed. Seeing nothing, he continued on, his shoulders tensed as if waiting for an attack. That was stupid of me. I shook my head and continued on toward the ghost, who was still walking in circles near the newspaper boxes on the corner. As I approached, I saw that it was a 20-something male, and he was talking to himself.
Gotta get to class. Can't stop. Gotta go now. Sorry, Red. Have to go. Can't stay. Don't make me stay. Don't make me stay. Don't make me stay.
He was dressed in that slouchy, worn-out style that a lot of college students favored. As I got closer, his voice rose in a crescendo.
No! Can't stop! Can't stay! Sorry, Red! Don't make me stay! Don't make me stay! Don't make me!
He walked into a building, bounced off the wall, and walked back, bouncing off again like a record with a skipping needle. Hey! I said, putting my hand on his shoulder.
Hey! Do you need help?
He turned on me in terror, his hands raised and his wrists crossed in front of his face as if expecting.